section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, he is Aaron. Let's get right into the news. Evan Bourne has been suspended for a second time. Mm-hmm. And is this for what we think it is?
More than likely, they have not released what it was for. It was he is suspended for 60 days, and it was for abusing the wellness policy for a second time. More than likely, it's probably Spice again. And I am predicting that he is going to be on his way out.
Unfortunately, that's what it seems right now, but we'll just have to wait and see on this one. I'm wondering if it was something else, but, you know, it was Spice before, and, you know, he could have just taken the $1,000 fine for the other stuff. So I find it kind of weird, but, you know, hopefully Evan Bourne is not gone from the WWE. But anyway, so Big Show has a minor injury. And what is this, Aaron?
So on Tuesday, he got injured at the SmackDown tapings and he hurt his back. And, you know, when you're that big, you know, any minor injury, you know, can be pretty severe. So I don't know what they're going to do with the Big Show Daniel Bryan storyline. This could definitely put a little bit of a damper on there, which we'll, you know, talk about in just a little bit. So I don't know. I'm interested to see, you know, how severe it is, because if it's pretty severe, you know, is Daniel Bryan going to hold on to the strap for a while? I mean, what are they going to do with him? I don't know.
Well, I think that's what the plan is going to be, that he's going to have the strap for a while, but it's really weird, because I thought that, you know, he could still put him over. He can actually, you know, with the Big Show getting hurt, he can sit there and say, I took out the Big Show, blah. You know, he could sit there and go on this rant about how he's so much better than the Big Show. And even if the Big Show is only gone for a week or two or even a couple months, it would actually make Daniel Bryan, I think, a lot better, because he can say he took out the Big Show. Keep saying that over and over again. And you can almost have him do a program with Wade Barrett and say, you know what, Wade? I took out the Big Show, so you're going to be simple. Yeah, mm-hmm. You can do something along those lines. So let's move on to Raw. Well, actually, before we actually get right into Raw, on Sunday, there was a house show, of course, I think in the L.A. area, in Oakland, if I'm correct.
Yep.
And something weird happened. Epico and Primo won the tag titles, which shocked everyone, which it shouldn't have, because when you have a cameraman out there filming a match at the house show, usually it means that something big is going to happen. So, yeah. Yep. But yeah, Team Air Boom, who just got new shirts, dropped the titles.
Yeah, do you think that the fact that they got new shirts and then Evan Bourne gets suspended for 60 days, how pissed do you think the WWE is right now at Evan Bourne?
Oh, they're furious at him right now, and they have every right to be. It's just sad that it had to happen this way. And, you know, I guess my thing is, it shows, I guess to me, behind the scenes, it shows that they're getting tested a lot, because they caught him again. So fast. He just got off the suspension recently. You know, it's only been, what, 60 days since he's been back, and he got suspended again, and now it's going to be for 60 days. That means no Royal Rumble payoff, which is going to hurt him tremendously, and he won't be able to get the WrestleMania payout.
So well, no, he would be there for WrestleMania.
Well,
he
probably won't use him, though.
They wouldn't use him. He could be there for WrestleMania, but I would not use him. I would be like, no, I'm sorry, but you made a mistake and you have to pay for it. Sorry.
It's just really sad. We're still speculating. They haven't said what it is yet, but we're pretty sure that's what it is. So, of course, on Raw, Air Boom had to revoke their rematch clause since they just lost it on the house show. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they come out on top. And Evan Bourne taking a nice is it the code? That's not the code breaker. What did he lose? What was the move? I can't remember what the finishing move was.
The backstabber.
That's right. Carlito's old move.
Yep.
So
no, the one thing I wanted to bring up about them winning the titles, though, Epico and Primo, The thing that I liked about this is that it makes you, you know, think, wow, you know, at a house show, anything can happen. And that's why you have a lower tier title in WWE, the tag team title, change hands. You know, they did this with the hardcore title quite often. And I would actually like to see, you know, like a TV title or hardcore title back in the WWE for reasons such as this, because that way, you know, you never know what's going to happen. And you may think, well, hey, you know, he's had this title for a while and he's got a big match coming up at his house show. He could potentially lose that title. And that'd be kind of cool.
Would be cool. And it's actually kind of sad that they don't have the TV title. But anyway, so Zack Ryder actually loses the U.S. Championship to Jack Swagger, of all people. And apparently that the U.S. title doesn't mean much because it's getting passed around. But what gets me on this is they just give it to him. And then they already say, yeah, we're just going to give you the title for a little bit. Yes, he doesn't need it. And Jack Swagger actually really does need it.
Yeah,
but you'd think that he would lose it at Royal Rumble, like have Kane interfere or something like that. But now you get this weird thing going on with Cena, Ryder, and Kane. And it's almost what the genius thing on this thing would be is a Cena turns heel and Zack Ryder is facing them. And he has to bring someone in to help him out. You could have someone else, you know, another face come over, actually. You can almost have Mick Foley join forces and have, you know, a program with them, because they're kind of teasing something along those lines.
Or you could do Ryder and Rock, but I got to say this much. I am very happy with this, and here's why. Because of the potential that it could have. Having Ryder lose the title, I think that when he, you know, as I said before, having him win the title was such a big thing, like having him go for it and finally getting the title. But then, you know, it's like, well, now he's got the title and now there's not as much, you know, people aren't cheering him nearly as much. So to have him lose the title and then be like, you know, are you serious, bro? Like, you're going to put me in a match like that right after I get injured? Like, are you serious? You know, like that makes it like, you know, I'm getting this taken away from me because he doesn't like me, because they don't think that I am the ideal superstar, you know, even though I'm working my butt off. So I kind of like this if they do it correctly. The problem with the WWE is they normally don't do it correctly. If they do it correctly, though, this will be really, really great.
Yes, and I'm looking forward to see where they're going with this, because you can go with lots of angles at this right now. The other thing also is Jericho walks out on the three-way tag match.
The six-man tag match, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's what I meant, the three-on-three. I'm sorry, I'm sick. So, yeah, it was a three-on-three tag match. Of course, Jericho is not talking. He is doing the old-school Sting gimmick, but he'll yell, yeah, all right, baby, but he won't talk.
Yeah, and he gets in the ring. I loved, like, when he got tagged in, and then he kept doing his, you know, like, kept cheering and kept getting all excited, and then he like gets out of the ring and runs around and leaves, you know. And of course people were booing him a little, but the thing that's funny about that is that people are still cheering him. So you have to have him talk, and like I said last week, you have to have him bring up the fact that the fans cheered when he got punted by Randy Orton. You have to bring that up.
And with Randy Orton being hurt, it's kind of tough to do that now. Because he could have done that now, but it's also cool because even it's going to take a while before this is brought up again. So I'm looking forward to seeing how this actually how they play out the whole Jericho thing.
Mm-hmm.
But so probably the best segment that I've seen again, and this is I think some of this had to be unscripted. The whole thing with CM Punk and Johnny Ace had a war of words against each other. It was amazing. In all seriousness, this is probably one of the highlights this year so far. It's just the great segment, how it happened, and then also the ending with Johnny Ace hitting Mick Foley.
Yeah, I agree with you. This was one of those things that was very heated, and you're sitting there wondering what's going to happen. And I will say this about CM Punk. Stone Cold, for as much charisma as he had, and you know, for the promos he gave, Punk's promos I think are much better. And I really felt like this was real when I was watching, because they get compared a lot, you know, so that's why I'm bringing up Stone Cold. Mm-hmm. When you watch Stone Cold's promos, they look somewhat scripted, you know, and, you know, you really felt, okay, this is wrestling. This is, you know, it's a soap opera. However, though, with CM Punk, you really feel that this is real, that there is actual beef between those two, and that something big's going to happen. And that is why I really personally thought this segment went off without a hitch. And Johnny Ace, the only thing about him is I really think that he needs a little bit better skill on the mic, because there were things that he did that I was sitting there looking at him. I'm like, oh, dude, you're doing that wrong. Like, you need an acting coach, because this would be so much better if you did it this way or that way. Other than that, great segment.
Actually, what they did was they gave him a paper bag and they asked him to, you know, act his way out of it, and he failed.
Yeah.
That's the problem. If you had someone, like, if you had Vince, see, this should be, if this was, just think if this was Vince McMahon, how this would be coming off. I mean, it'd be completely different.
And I think, you know, now that you mentioned that, I think the facial expressions Vince gave, or gives, really, in all his segments, makes you feel like it's real. And I think with Johnny Ace, he was sitting there waiting for him to be done with his lines so he could say his. And I think that's what really made it go kind of fall a little flat. But that's only if you're, you know, sitting there nitpicking it. That's the only thing. So it's not like I'm, you know, saying that this was a bad segment. I'm just nitpicking it a little. That's all.
Yeah. And that's it. That's the only bad part about the segment. But, you know, eventually, I mean, he's improved a little bit, but he's too scripted and you can see it. But yeah, great thing. Yeah, he's going to screw CM Punk. It's going to be very interesting how this ends up playing out, the pay-per-view. By the way, I had on my schedule that the pay-per-view is this Sunday. It's not. You're right. It is the 29th. I thought it was 22nd for some reason. But, of course, you can't have Royal Rumble go head-to-head against you know, football games on Sunday.
No, you can't.
So let's move on to SmackDown, or should we say Sin City SmackDown? The roulette wheel, for some reason I can never say that word properly, is back on SmackDown. Isn't that awesome?
No, because you know it's not random. You know it's.
Well, that's why the camera zooms in all of a sudden, and then someone has their hand behind it. It would just be funny if it accidentally went on something else.
Yeah,
and then they had to move it back real fast. But I guess on SmackDown, since it is taped, they can do that.
But, absolutely.
Yeah. So, here's the thing. Something else that happened on SmackDown. The whole thing with Jinder Mahal. I think it's a lost cause.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a lost cause. Shouldn't be around. I think they're doing this poorly. You could have done this a different way. It kind of reminds me of what they did with, I can't think of the guy's name, but his guy was Daivari.
Muhammad Hassan, right?
Thank you. Yeah, like that was too, they should have done it earlier, his gimmick, and it would have gone over great. But they brought in too late, you know. Same thing with Jinder. Is that what it is? Jinder?
I thought he was a ginger. Isn't that ginger? What you were saying?
Oh, so it was a ginger. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Heath Slater's new partner. He's a ginger.
So, oh, that's a great tag team. You have the gingers.
Yeah. Now, Jinder Mahal, I think the biggest problem is that he doesn't have charisma. Okay, he has a little bit of talent, and he obviously has the look. However, though, he doesn't have the charisma. And when you cannot get a crowd behind you, good or bad, you lost them. You really did. And you're trying to push him against Sheamus? And don't get me wrong, I'm not the biggest Sheamus fan, but I do know a superstar when I see him. And I know that Sheamus is one of the top tier people right now in SmackDown. So here's the thing. You can't expect this guy to go up against one of your top people and expect him to all of a sudden magically get morphed into a mid-card or upper mid-card person. No, you can't expect that. You cannot do that. So I think that he is a lost cause. Personally, I'd rather see somebody like Husky Harrison there or Mike McGillicuddy. And Mike McGillicuddy is horrible on the mic, and I would still rather see him.
But
there.
The thing is also with Jinder, you can actually have him.
Are you still saying Jinder, by the way?
I know it's Jinder, right? Jinder. Yeah. Jinder.
Okay, anyways, so talk about Jinder some more.
So Jinder, he's one of those guys, he's good on the mic, though. It's like a David Otunga, crappy in the ring, good on the mic. You need to have him do something where his wrestling skills aren't always shown there. I mean, he's good. I mean, I should say this. He is good on the ring, but you're right. He's not charismatic. You could always hide that. That's the one thing. That's why I think Paul Heyman needs to come back for a little bit or find someone like him. You have someone who can take someone's weakness and hide it, and then you take their strengths, and that's the one that, thing that shines.
He needs somebody behind him. And, you know, he's not great in the ring. That's the thing. It's not that he's great in the ring. You know, he knows, you know, the basic stuff.
He can take the bumps fine. He does a good job of it. You know that he's not hurting the other competitors or the other wrestlers. That's how I look at it. So he does. I think he does a good job in the ring. But the problem is, what do you do with him? When it's all said and done, what do you do with him? How do you hide the fact that he's not charismatic? You almost have to put him with someone who is.
You know, I'm in tag team. You know, that's why I say
almost have him and Wade Barrett together or something.
That would bring Barrett down. I think you have somebody.
Okay, you're right.
Somebody a little bit lower. You know, like have them together, and that would work. Now, Andy, I wanted to move on to something that, you know, Daniel Bryan cut a pretty great promo on Big Show on Raw, and then he cut another one on SmackDown. What do you think of Daniel Bryan's promos he's cutting now? And what do you think of the heat that he's getting?
Daniel Bryan, okay, he was never really that great on the mic, but he's been great lately. He's working with someone. So I don't know who he's traveling. I can't remember who he's traveling with, but I don't know if he's just taking acting classes or he just all of a sudden just improved dramatically. But he has been great on the mic. Hands down, great. I got to give him credit on that. I don't know what he's doing, but it's almost like you took a guy who was scared to talk when he first came to Ring of Honor and was better towards the end, but he comes to the WWE, sucks on the mic, really, compared to everyone else, and then all of a sudden now he's like one of the best, I think. He's up there. He's not like Rock, but he's like, if Rock is 100, he's like at 80. So he's getting there. I'm very surprised with these promos. He's doing a great job. A great job.
He is doing a good job. The only thing I'm really worried about is on Raw, the crowd seemed a little dead during his promos. And that was something that definitely made me go, ooh.
He needs to hurt someone is what he needs to do. He needs to take someone who's technically a superstar on, you know, like Raw or SmackDown and beat him up. Like literally just beat the crap out of him. Do it. If Big Show's going to be out for a while, they should do something where he gets him in into
the LaBelle lock.
The bell lock, and have him like make it look like he actually did something to Big Show, so he's out for a while, and then have him hit two other guys. I mean, you can get JTG. I mean, what is he doing? Oh wait, he's wrestling Brodus Clay. That's right. So you could do something similar, like just bring a couple guys who are like hurt, or they can take a couple weeks off or months. Bam, there you go. He takes him out. He could actually have, what I would almost suggest is bring like Edge back and have him cut a promo, have Daniel Bryan put him in the ring and then have him put the LaBelle lock on him, and then maybe have Christian come out and make the save or something like that.
That might not be a bad idea. That way you could have a Christian Bryan feud go on.
You could, and then he has a ton of heat because of what he just did to Christian's friend, Edge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and plus he took out the Big Show, and we could say he takes out JTG. Or Kurt Hawkins, you never know.
Exactly. Have it be Kurt. But here's the thing. Right there, that's good writing. We know who we're talking about right now, and we know that they don't do good writing. So anyway, why don't you thank our sponsor, Andy?
Well, HostGator. They are our longest-running sponsor on, of course, Off the Mark. Are you a blogger, a podcaster, or you're just not happy with your web hosts? You need to check out HostGator.com. You're going to find web hosting made easy and affordable. They offer unlimited disk space, unlimited bandwidth, and one-click script installs with a free site builder and the best control panel out there. Stop by today and try a free demo to see how easy it is. And if you use a special coupon code, Off the Mark, you'll save 25% off your web hosting packages. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite out of your web hosting costs. Let's get into Impact Wrestling. Crimson and Matt Morgan and, of course, Samoa Joe Mangus feud are getting very, very heated so far. So
we had Crimson and Magnus have a match, and then Joe runs out there, beats the crap out of Crimson. Then Matt Morgan comes out for the save, but he gets the crap beat out of him too. And they're actually making this a little worthwhile. They're making it look like it's more than just random tag team thrown together. This is something that I'm actually pretty happy about, and that I'm actually a little excited about. It's giving the tag team, titles a little bit of love.
Yeah, and also what I like about this is that after the tag teams, if you start splitting some of them up, because, you know, they're single wrestlers, you can have multiple feuds out of this because they can bring up something that happened at Genesis or what happened in January, February. Mm-hmm. So they can actually, this is good. This could be good planning. This could be.
Could be.
But it probably isn't. But I'm pretty excited about this. Also, what's going on with EY, dude? What's going on with Eric Young and ODB?
So they get thrown together in that tag team turmoil tournament thingy, whatever it is. And now they're like in a relationship, kind of. What do you think about that, Andy?
I'm just trying to figure out who's the girl in the relationship. I'm leaning towards EY right now, just to let you know. He could be the woman in the relationship.
Could be.
But, you know, it's interesting. They don't usually do angles like this. And this is going to be a kind of this is more comical, I think. So
this is a comical angle done right. First of all, EY has tremendous charisma. And also, I watch these. I legitimately watch these sections of Impact Wrestling. Unlike the Brodus Clay stuff where, you know, they're trying to make it funny and trying to make it fun. That stuff I don't think is funny, and I don't think it's fun, and I don't watch. This stuff I do. Kudos. This is two things in a row that TNA is doing right, you know? And the third thing in a row that they're doing right is Alex Shelley returned from his injury, and he's challenging AA to the X Division title.
Arn Anderson has the X Division title?
He does, again.
Or should we say Austin Aries has it?
Yes, he does.
So So Alex Shelley, it's great to see him back. I think this is about the time he was supposed to come back, right? It was
maybe
January, February.
A month early.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of nice he came back, and it's nice to see him back. There's some wrestlers, it's nice. It sucks when they're gone, but when they come back, it's also nice when they see him. And he's healed, so we're going to see him for hopefully the entire year.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, Chris Sabin will see him back, and I would love to see Motor City Machine Guns beat, you know, Crimson and Matt Morgan or Joe and Magnus, either one. I would just love to see him back in the title picture, in the tag title picture. Or if they're gonna break him up and have Alex Shelley go for the X Division title, more power to them. I love seeing him back. Love seeing him back. Now, the other thing that happened on Impact Wrestling, Andy, which is the fourth thing that they're doing, right? Storm and Hardy wrestle for the number one contendership match because last week Storm wrestled Angle and Storm won, but there's a little bit of some treachery there, if you would say. And then Jeff Hardy, he also wrestled Robert Roode, but he got in the middle of the match, Bully Ray comes out and hits Hardy, you know. So there's a little bit of treachery there, so they wrestled, but it went to a no contest. So my question to you, Andy, is who's going to wrestle Robert Roode?
I'm calling it right now. They're going to do a three-way match for the title. That's what they're going to do.
It's predictable, but what do you think about that, about them doing that?
Well, you could almost have Hardy win and then have Roode and Storm go on their, have a feud with that. Or you can have, that's the thing. Do you want to keep the strap on Robert Roode? Because you can do something where Storm beats up Hardy. Well, see, there's so many possibilities with this one. I almost think that Hardy needs to win the championship, and then you can have Robert Roode and Storm feud for a while, or you could just have all three of them feud against each other, which would be kind of cool.
Well, I actually like your idea of having Storm or having Hardy win, and then Storm and Roode will just go and they'll feud for a little while. I actually think that'll be a better scenario for TNA in the long run, because that way you can have Hardy go up against the returning Ken Anderson, or you could have him go up against somebody else. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people that you could, you know, throw into the title picture. You could have Samoa Joe and Matt Morgan. You could throw them into the title hunt if you wanted to. So I agree. I think that would be a really good idea to do.
Yeah, but just going to be interesting. It's just going to be interesting how this thing all pans out. So I'm looking forward to it. So what's your weekly topic, Aaron? Your top five?
So I had talked about last week about doing a top five people who should get inducted before Edge. However, though, I'm going to hold off on that one for now because we don't know who the other inductees are yet. So I'm going to hold off on that one because I'm going to do it closer to WrestleMania. Since Royal Rumble is 2 weeks away, I would like to do my top five wrestlers most likely to win the 2012 Royal Rumble.
Okay, yeah, let's hear it, dude. I'm interested in seeing what your list is.
Number five, Dolph Ziggler. I think after his match with CM Punk that he's going to be in the Royal Rumble, and I think that that's a possibility because if he wins it, that's a huge push.
That's huge. That is a good point. Wouldn't be surprised to see if that's what happens.
Number four, the returning Christian. Christian should be ready by this point in time. If he wins, and like let's say he is a face such as you had recommended earlier, you could have Christian take on Daniel Bryan. That'd be pretty interesting, you know, possibility.
It would definitely be a good match to see how, you know, what they do with them, because having Christian win it, he could say, I want Daniel Bryan instead, and then you don't have to worry about what's going on with CM Punk.
You have somebody else take him on. You could also have Randy Orton win, which is my number three. I think that it's in St. Louis. It's in his hometown, so I think that there's going to be a huge spotlight on him. That would be his second Royal Rumble win. A lot of times, you tend to have it on somebody who's really popular. And Hulk Hogan has won it twice, but it wasn't for the title. Back then, it was just the match. And he was like the champion at the time anyway, I think, for both of them.
Yeah, so it didn't matter because, you know.
Yeah. And you also had Stone Cold Steve Austin. He actually won it three times. So that's a possibility. You could have Randy Orton win it a second time. My second possibility is Wade Barrett. You have him win this young in his career, it's going to really propel him. It is going to help him out a lot.
Yeah. So I agree with that one. That might be my number one. So who do you have for your number one?
My number one most likely to win the 2012 Royal Rumble, Chris Jericho.
That's kind of predictable, though. If he wins it, that's very predictable. But I do, like I said, I do like what he's doing right now with this gimmick with the no talking. So it's pretty interesting.
I could see him coming out there, doing that whole thing, and then basically, you know, being all happy-go-lucky, and then all of a sudden just turning and being dark and then throwing people out, you know, or like if he's one of the last people in there, just going, you know, crazy on everyone. And then, you know, the next night on Raw, he talks about the win. You have a huge segment right there. So that's why Chris Jericho is my most likely to win the 2012 Royal Rumble.
I think that's a great one, dude. We'll see what happens. Tell you what, next week I'll give you my top five winners for this year's Royal Rumble. So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting and editing the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.